Welcome to Claim Edge, your resource for litigated claims management and resolution. I'm Jim Chapman, your host, and today we'll be joined by Charlie Wendland, head of claims for Branch Insurance, talking about claims at a personal lines insurtech startup, putting together a panel of high-performing defense counsel, and the challenges of litigated claims. We're glad you joined us, and I'm excited to have Charlie on the show, so let's get started. Charlie, welcome. Good to have you today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Most people that know you and know what Claim Edge does know that we're in the litigated claims space, but you're in claims, long time in insurance claims. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started, what brought you into this business, and maybe just as importantly, why you stayed?
Sure. Yeah, so I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and in Cleveland, the employer of choice is Progressive. And so in my undergrad, or I should say, as I was graduating, the first application I completed was for Progressive, and they never contacted me. So I just went on and I got another job. I was selling office equipment to companies, right? So I'm cold calling industrial parkways, asking them if they want a copy machine or a fax machine at that time too, to give you an idea of when I graduated undergrad. And then, you know, about a year into that job, I was called by Progressive. Went through the interview process and started my career in insurance and insurance claims. I started as a claims trainee. Back then, we were claims generalists, which meant, you know, we were handling every aspect of the claim. We were writing estimates on damaged vehicles, meeting in person with injured parties, resolving those injured claims that were attorney repped or not attorney repped. And then from there, you know, I spent equal amount of time at Travelers handling litigated commercial general liability claims. And then prior to coming to Branch, I was the director of claims for a commercial auto insurer locally here in the Cleveland area. Most recently, I'm the head of claims for Branch, and we're a personal lines carrier. And it's really exciting. You asked why I stayed, you know, in insurance claims. One is I find it to be very fulfilling work. You know, we're helping people, fulfilling the insurer's promise. And also what we're doing at Branch is really, really exciting, where we are growing everything from the ground up, you know, an insurance company as well as a claims organization, which is what really drew me to join, aside from Branch's noble mission of restoring insurance back to its original intent.
Yeah, that is great. I wanted to ask you about that. That's I've seen that tagline on Branch's website. You want to unpack that a little bit for us?
Yeah, you know, our co-founders, Steve Lekas and Joe Emison, you know, this was really their idea, where they felt like insurance had lost its way. You know, you can hardly tune into a sporting event or really even YouTube videos without seeing various insurance commercials, you know, with big budget movie stars. And as an industry, we spend millions and millions of dollars on advertisements every year. And that's not what insurance was here to do, right? Insurance was meant to be a force of communal good. The example I always use is a bunch of farmers pulling together their funds in the event one of their barns got struck by lightning and needed repairs. You know, you help out your community with these funds. So that was the purpose of starting Branch, was to restore insurance back to be that communal good, make it easy to acquire and really good coverage. You know, we're not going to spend money on marketing when we can pass along those savings to our customers and thereby making sure more people are insured.
I know Branch is a personal lines carrier. Are you guys writing in all of the states yet?
Soon. That's by the end of this year, we intend to be nationwide. Right now, we're available in 23 states, but expanding rapidly. You know, our first policies we wrote in July 2019. We were in one state. Here we are today, 2022, and we are now in 23 and soon to be 50 plus DC by the end of this year.
Yeah, so obviously there's a big regulatory side of being able to write in every state. Has it been an acquisition strategy to get there, or has it just been organic? You know, we're going to knock them down state at a time.
It's a little bit of both. You know, the method that we had used to enter into some of these states that have seasoning requirements, which means you have to be writing insurance in other states for a certain amount of time before you can start writing insurance in their state. We were writing Branch insurance on someone else's paper, right? So we had a different underwriting company for these states, these established underwriting companies, and they've been great partners. But, you know, we created Branch Insurance Exchange, our insurance company, in 2020. And now we are writing insurance as an insurance company, and we are rolling over that old business where we were operating as a general agency into our own insurance company. And that's the ultimate plan, is that we will be just an insurance company in every state.
You're in claims. I'm in claims. Let's talk about claims a little bit, right? What is Branch doing that is exciting, you know, from the claims perspective?
Yeah, well, why I got involved was the mission of the company and the opportunity to, you know, like I said earlier, start something from nothing. And so, you know, it's an interesting situation that I find myself in as the head of claims, because we make it really easy to get insurance through Branch. And what I mean by that is, with other companies, if you go to bundle your home and auto insurance online, you're into an application for maybe 45 minutes to an hour, depending on the length of that application and the answers, the availability of the answers that you need to provide. So for instance, like, what's your car's VIN number? Like, nobody knows that, right? Like, you know, you got to go pull out your insurance card, or you're walking over to your car to read that and then type it in. And then even at the end of that process, they're pushing you to an agent to complete that transaction. So we felt like that was filled with friction. So the way that you acquire Branch is name and address. And then we give you a price to bundle your home and auto. And, you know, we obviously give our customers the ability to customize their insurance to the hilt. Where I'm going with this is frictionless experience on the front end, name and address. How do you replicate that on the back end? Can't be, you know, claims is the same process that we've had for years, you know, when it comes to handling claims. And so our approach to building out the claims operation was to be intensely customer focused. It's become very in vogue to talk about, like, you know, straight through claims processing and touchless claims. We think some of that stuff is really cool. We think a lot of it is misguided because it's not really putting the customer first. If you think about being the customer's best friend on their worst day, do they want to just go through that process all by themselves, especially if it's their first claim, or do they need a human there to help guide them? And so the way we think about implementing technology into the claims process is to reduce administrative burden of our adjusters, to create automation around some of those tasks, so it will enable them to spend more time on complex issues and providing a little extra customer care. So, you know, we still do a lot of, like, the virtual estimating and things like that. I suspect we'll do more of that as it becomes widely adopted. But things like implementing AI in the claims process, we're not going to be early adopters of that, I'll say. But we think there's uses there, but we just haven't clearly defined what those look like.
So it sounds like you've digitized some of it, but you don't want to lose the human touch associated with the trauma of a claims experience.
It would. To lose the human touch would fly in the face of Branch's mission, right? Another term that we use is getting back to getting each other's back. You don't accomplish that by removing the human element when our customers need us the most. So yes, yeah, that's how we think about implementing technology. It's to support the humans that are handling the claims and not to replace them.
So a lot of your experience that you described was in commercial lines. Now you're in personal lines. Do you see any big differences? Like, is there a big gap, or, you know, just different challenges around that?
Yeah, different challenges. You know, I started off in personal lines at Progressive, right? And, you know, the biggest differences are when you're handling commercial lines, you know, generally you're dealing with, like, a safety director at a company, and this is their job to interact with the insurance company. You know, been there, done that. These are veterans. On the personal line side, as I said moments ago, you know, this may be someone's first claim and they need a lot of care. They need proper expectations set about what's going to happen during this process. And some of them really need their hand held. And so what I noticed, the biggest difference is the level of customer care between the two, which is not to say that you disregard customer care with commercial claims, but you put a much higher emphasis on it when it comes to personal lines.
Yeah, so claims, personal lines or commercial lines, some of them still end up in litigation, right?
Sure.
And you guys have been writing for about 3 years now. I assume that you're probably seeing some level of litigated claims, whether it's first party or probably more likely third party. How have you sort of worked through that process for a new carrier?
Yeah, we're sensitive to it, right? And so our sensitivity is because we are growing so fast is we're trying to keep everything we can out of litigation, right? Like, this is not news, like every claims department. And by and large, we've done a really excellent job of that. We have had litigation, but it's always been with their approach of, you know, let's get these settled, right? Like, you know, you and I were talking separately about the amount of cases that now have gone to trial lately. I mean, there's so few, right? And so if we know that, then we should take a renewed focus on that early resolution, or, you know, maybe not early resolution is the right way to say it, but, you know, the right time to resolve it, you know, because obviously some discovery is probably needed at some point. Maybe it's not needed at all, and you just reached an impasse in negotiations. But the way that we've been handling it is it's the traditional approach where the summons and complaints comes in, we get it over to our defense counsel and, you know, instruct them on how to handle it accordingly.
So you had to build out a team of lawyers to handle your claims, probably on a state by state, maybe even a locality by locality basis. How did you get going in that regard, and how's it been working for you?
We have built our list on attorneys that we have deep experience with across multiple carriers and ones that we have found to be intensely customer focused, right? For all the reasons that I just mentioned. But these are trial tested attorneys who also are aligned with us on how we think about, you know, resolving claims. You know, they're not going to bill just to bill. They have, you know, shared interest in this and a shared goal with getting these claims settled as fast as possible. And so this is how we established our list. And it's going really well. Now, that said, small amount of litigation today because of how young we are, it's not going to be like that forever. And so that's why it was important to us, you know, to get this panel counsel list solidified right out of the gate, because, you know, we don't want to be working from behind because it's just way too important.
Yeah, I think the key is building a good solid foundation around that before you have to scale with dealing with a lot of claims, right? Any tools, any technology that you're using specifically that aids you in that regard, you know, either managing counsel rates, or you're probably using some e-billing platform, that sort of thing?
We do. We have a litigation management software tool that we are using to facilitate communication with our panel firms, as well as do, you know, e-billing and things like that, kind of like that central omni-channel communication between us and panel counsel.
So just, you know, thinking about this for the long haul, fortunately, you don't have a lot of litigation right now and probably can be managed, you know, purely sort of human interaction and that sort of thing. But as it scales, obviously, you got to think about managing huge volumes of information that are created in litigation and those sorts of things. Have you started to think about the metrics associated with, hey, how are we doing? And do we need to devote some more energy into this jurisdiction or these types of claims, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we will be able to, once we have some kind of critical mass, be able to do some really interesting reporting about, you know, days to resolution, days to file an answer, how much we're spending, you know, on certain firms, which venues are costing us the most. You know, there's some industry data out there about, you know, average severity in different venues, but we'll have our own data that I think is really, really cool. And then not only are we collecting information about, you know, our counsel, but also about judges, about opposing counsel, all within that same management suite. So yeah, as much as I'm not looking forward to a lot of litigation, I am from the perspective of just getting more of that data coming in.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty amazing today, the reams and reams of data that you can actually make actionable because it's all become digital. You know, gone are the old days of red weld full of paper, right? Sitting on a shelf and having to pull it off and figure out what's going on a case-by-case basis. You can really sort of roll all that up as long as you got good systems in place to make that happen. One thing I did want to ask you about, I know you've been pretty active in CLM claims and litigation management. There's been a bit of a focus about social inflation, nuclear verdicts, those sorts of things, because you mentioned earlier, not many cases are being tried. Of course, we went through COVID, that had something to do with it. But what is your perspective on that? And what do you think the industry is going to be able to do to kind of deal with it and maybe return to a more of a sense of, I don't know whether I can call it normalcy, but to deal with it, right?
Well, you know, the nuclear verdicts, that was my past life. We were dealing with that all the time because we were insuring tractor trailers and big commercial autos that had large policy limits and a lot of excess coverage. And so that's what's driving that nuclear verdict and the social inflation right now. It's trucking. And, you know, the one thing that you didn't mention, I mean, there's another element here, that which is the third-party litigation funding, right? That's really driving social inflation as well. There are tactics to work around overcoming the reptile theory, right? But it's such like a case-by-case basis. It has a lot to do with the quality of the driver, the quality of the company. And then, you know, like any good defense, you can do some like strategic separation to try to overcome that reptile. And, you know, similar with third-party litigation funding, you know, it's the story that needs to be told is that those funders, they're exercising improper influence in the litigation process. You know, they're supporting their own interests and not the victims. And so there's a story to be told there too, but I think they are having just a bigger role in the social inflation as all of these verdicts that we're seeing come out, you know, every couple months here out of certain venues as well. I also think there's an opportunity to try the right cases. You know, even though, you know, the amount of cases going to trial now has decreased significantly, I think a great way to fight against this is to try the right cases. We, you know, we had a case, I'll share just very briefly, in Orleans Parish, very plaintiff friendly, but we felt we had a good case. It was a tractor trailer case, word versus word liability, very minimal damage, but the plaintiff received, I think, 3-level cervical fusion and medical bills north of $250,000. We felt it was the right case because we had a good driver. We had good facts, you know, word versus word, but we felt like our facts were good as well as our accident reconstructionist was very strong. And we took that case to trial. And I should also mention, we made a pre-trial offer in excess of the medical bills, but way beneath their demand. They were up and above our policy limits, but we felt like it was the right case to try. And they also kind of forced our hand. You know, they left us no choice. We were just never going to get to where they were. And so we tried the case and the verdict came in below the medical bills, which was below our pre-trial offer. And we consider that a win. Even though there was an award, to us, that was just as good as a defense verdict. So it's about trying the right cases. We should not be afraid, even in this climate of social inflation and nuclear verdicts, to try cases, because it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. You've really got to start establishing kind of a line in the sand. I can recall, this is probably 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, an uninsured client that I had that was in the railroad business, just a spate of claims. And they finally made the decision, we're just going to start trying them. And for about 4 years, we were trying 4 or 5 cases a year, all in the same venue. And not to say they didn't get some verdicts, but they didn't hit anything out of the park. And they certainly weren't out of line with what the settlement office had been, that sort of thing. And eventually, we actually got some defense verdicts. They got to the point where we just don't want to work that hard and became not only a lot more reasonable in their settlement approaches, but they just stopped bringing the cases against the insured.
That's really interesting. Was it one firm in particular?
Yeah, there's a plaintiff's firm in Virginia that was bringing all of those cases against a railroad located in, likewise, in the same venue, did business in that venue. And it was a, you know, some folks viewed it as a tough venue, maybe not, you know, a hellhole, but close to it, if you know what I mean. But they had enough and they realized that the approach needed to change and they really just needed to start trying cases. I think insurance companies generally don't have quite the same perspective. It's always, you know, I need to close this and move on. And so they're even more trial averse and trying to get cases resolved. So, you know, I think the industry is always going to struggle with that some. But I think you're right that taking more cases to trial, doing a good job of picking the best ones would make a difference in terms of trying to bring this kind of runaway social inflation thing to bear.
It's a really hard judgment call, especially when you're in challenging venues, because there is, you know, you talk about reptile, which is all about fight or flight, right? You know, when you're faced as that decision as a claims manager of the right case to try, like, well, we can get out of this for $100,000 more than our offer, or, you know, we can maybe do the right thing and try it and see what happens. That's hard, right? Like the reptile theory doesn't just impact juries. It impacts the people making decisions about, oh man, if this goes bad, this could go really bad. So we just need to get it resolved. It's a really hard spot to be in.
When they go nuclear, you know, it's landing on the desk of the chief claims officer. And, you know, there's conversations around the C-suite and those sorts of things. So I understand that. That's certainly a part of the calculus. So one of the things I know that's going on in personal lines is kind of these bad faith setups as a way of, you know, making something extra contractual. Are you guys challenged by that, or what do you see going on in that space currently?
You know, we haven't seen a lot of it. We've seen some, but we do see the signs for setup. We have, you know, very fortunate that even though we're a young company, we have a pretty experienced team that understands what red flags to look for, and thankfully haven't encountered a whole lot of that.
Well, that's great. That's great. I hope that force stays with you.
Me too.
Yeah. So one of the things I did want to ask you about, you know, we've talked about defense counsel, putting your panel together, that sort of thing. And you've mentioned in particular, we want our panel counsel to be aligned with our worldview and dealing with our insureds and that sort of thing. So that's a cultural issue. Taking it a step further, are there any sort of metrics that you guys are keenly focused on around who you're hiring and in the long game, whether they're going to stay on your panel, right?
We're toying around with, do we want to get customer feedback about the litigation process and about counsel in particular? And what does that look like? You know, you would think of it in terms of like an NPS. I don't know where we're going to come out with that. That's something that we're thinking about. Because to your point, like if we are intensely member focused, that means every part of the claim, including litigation, it cannot be a handoff, right? Like we do not just, you know, get a summons and complaint and we hand it to defense counsel, we abdicate. That is not what we do. You know, there are also some internal factors that we put in place for our own adjusters on how they are to communicate with defense counsel and what frequency as well. And so you'll be able to see too, like through our litigation management, the communication back and forth with the adjuster. In terms of metrics though, you know, the one above all that I use for litigation, just as you would for a claim, is speed to resolution, right? Like there is a certain amount of anxiety, especially in personal lines, if someone gets, you know, named in a lawsuit and they get sued. You know, they're calling us all the time to say, hey, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? If that's happening, defense counsel is doing a lousy job of communicating and setting expectations. Thankfully, we're not encountering much of that, right? Which tells me that by and large, our counsel does a great job. And we're very thankful for that. But to us, that's the best way to measure it outside of some traditional NPS, which again, like we're considering something like that.
Well, that would be pretty radical for the industry.
I know. I'm not saying we're going to do it, but we're considering it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just, we have the ability to create whatever we want. Right. And again, like we don't want to inundate customers with all these different surveys and like, tell us how we're doing at every step of the claim. But there's got to be some way that we can gauge from their perspective of how they're feeling at any given moment. And to me, it's as critical at any point in the claims process. Litigation is the biggest one too, because there's a lot more at stake when that happens.
No question. Well, Charlie, I really enjoyed this conversation today. It was awesome having you on as a guest. Appreciate you sharing your insights around all things claims, and of course, what Branch Insurance is up to. If anybody wants to reach out to you afterwards, you want to share your contact info, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation. And again, I'm honored that you invited me. My email is charlie@branch.com, and I'm available on LinkedIn, just Charlie Wendland.
Well, excellent. Glad we were able to do this today, and great having you on as a guest.
Thanks again.
Charlie, thanks again for joining us today and sharing your insights about claims handling at Branch, and particularly around putting together your panel of defense counsel. Thanks for listening today. If you like this episode, please share it with your colleagues and friends. Until next time, this is Jim Chapman on the Claim Edge Podcast, signing off.